Boy, they were awesome. I don't know about you guys, but they were awesome this morning. I enjoyed that last song. Anybody need Jesus now? Boy, you guys are quiet. Come on. We're going to wake you up. I need him, especially right now. In your worship folder, you'll find an outline of the message this morning. I want to look into God's word. You know, many times we come to church, and maybe you're here this morning. A lot of times, well, I come to learn something new. Well, I'm not here to teach you something new. Sometimes we need to do something with what we know. You know, and so this morning, I want to kind of go about what we know. What are we doing with what we know? I was reading a story this morning of a house in 2001 back in Chicago. There was this house that went up for auction in 2001. It was kind of run down. The grass had grown really tall in the yard, and it was kind of a rundown house. And they hadn't paid the taxes. And so the house went up for auction. This family goes in and buys this home. And they begin to clean it up. They start straightening the front yard up, and they start going inside the house. In 2001, they enter the house. And as they walked in a reading chair was a man sitting in the reading chair, dead. Dead, sitting in this reading chair. 2001, there's this man that sat. So they come in, and the police get there, and everybody goes through all the system of trying to identify and do all the work. His name was Adolf Stick, sitting in his reading chair, and the newspaper next to him, dated 1997. To the best knowledge, this man died in 1997 and had sat there 4 years, and nobody knew it. Nobody was aware. Nobody called. Nobody missed him. He sat there 4 years, and nobody knew. I want to challenge us as a church this morning. I want to challenge us as yes, Christians, but disciples, that nobody should have to sit there 4 years and nobody know. I remember visiting in a convalescent home here in Modesto. The man used to live across the street from the church. I've shared the story with you how his wife had passed away. He had no children. She did. They moved him into the convalescent home after she died. And I remember going and sitting at his bedside many a days and many a time. And he would sit there and go, I want to die. Why is God leaving me here? Nobody comes and sees him. Nobody visits him. The family that put him there was his second wife who had children and he had none and had just put him there till he passed away. And he was wondering, why am I here? And I'd be there praying with him. And is that how life is all about? See, I want to challenge us that we're Christians and that we're disciples. And I've been laying before you that a disciple is more than just saying, well, I got a name about Jesus on me. That a disciple is about doing something. It's about being something. And I want us to challenge this morning about breaking bread together. Very interesting title, and we're going to get into it. And I'm going to begin with a story of a Pharisee. He came to Jesus one time. As a matter of fact, the scripture is there, and we're going to look at it in just a minute. He came to Jesus, and he wanted to know about God and who God was and how to get into heaven. Look at what it says here as we read the scripture here. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Many of you have heard this verse many times. And he was challenged here. I went on in a very interesting study. I went onto the internet and typed in the 613 laws that he was talking about here. Took 24 pages. I cut them out and pasted them into a Word document. 24 pages of laws. And he's going, which one of these is most important? And what he's pointing out here is what I want to dwell on. I want to talk about breaking bread. It's most important is breaking bread. It's about relationships. See, being a disciple is about a relationship with God and a relationship with others. And several weeks ago, as we began this series about being a disciple, I told you to kind of lay the foundation. It's about touching the untouchable, the leprosy guy. It's about befriending the prostitute. Sometimes it's about ticking off the established religion. They offended those. You know, and I told you, you know, we got to reach out and touch. How can someone die and sit in a chair for 4 years and nobody knows it? How can a man in Modesto, in a convalescent home, sit there and say, I want to die because nobody sees me? It's about relationships. It's about a relationship with God and a relationship with others. The verse doesn't stop here. It reads on. Look at where it goes from here. You answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? It's like, who do I got to befriend? Who do I got to reach out to? Who do I got to touch? Well, who is your neighbor? Who really is the person sitting to you right now is your neighbor, right? Would anybody agree with that? The one sitting next to you is your neighbor. You're going to go home to your house. There's a house next to yours, most of us that don't live in the country. There's a house next to us. If you live in the country, there's a house next to you. It might be a little ways down the road, but it's there, all right? They are your neighbors. You're standing in line at a restaurant, at Target, Walmart. Somebody's standing next to you. They are your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Do you see the picture here? Do you see what he's challenging us with? And I want to challenge us that we need to think about our relationships. See, I can say I'm a Christian and I have a right relationship with God, but am I a disciple? Am I reaching out and touching others? There's a hurting world out there, and we need to reach out and touch, and we need to minister, and we need to encourage each other, and we need to be there for one another, and I want to challenge us with that. And so if you look at your outline, I want to talk about a disciple of Jesus breaks bread together. Now, we usually don't talk about it in those terms, but I want to take the words right out of a Bible verse, all right, to make it real simple. Look at this next Bible verse. Every day they continued. Now, every day, this is the disciples. These are the early Christians. This is in Jerusalem. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They were meeting together. They were gathered. There's two important things here for me. They were meeting in the temple courts at church. And they were meeting in their homes. What do I keep saying as your pastor? What do you need? You need to be in church on Sunday. You need to be in a home group during the week. And you need somebody to speak into your life. That's what you need in life. This is what they're saying here. They were meeting together. They were breaking bread. Now, many scholars believe they're taking the Lord's Supper. And yes, they were taking the Lord's Supper. We just did this not too long ago. We'll do it again as Easter rolls around. We'll take the Lord's Supper. It's a time we remember Jesus Christ and what he did for us, and we'll do that again. And they were doing that. But when it says they're breaking bread, they were eating, they were fellowshipping. Now, I don't know all of your home groups, many of you do, but our home group, we're going to get together tomorrow night, and we eat dinner every time. Somebody makes dinner, and we all sit around, and we eat, and we talk, and we visit, and then we get into our Bible study, kind of like what they were doing here. Some of you have done that. And that's what he's talking about. They were breaking bread together. They were eating, they were sharing. They were enjoying one another, and they were enjoying that time together, is what they were doing. It wasn't like, well, let's get Big Mac, sit down and have a conversation with a Big Mac attack. Yeah. No, they were having some fellowship. It's more, if you were going to put a word in there, instead of saying they were breaking bread together, say they were at Thanksgiving together. They were at Christmas together. They were sitting around, sharing stories, sharing life. Enjoying the conversation, catching up on what was going on. They were visiting with one another. You know, they came early, stayed late, and they ate. Does that sound like Thanksgiving? That's mine. Yeah. And that's kind of what they're talking about. They were building relationship. See, we need to understand that, being a disciple is about being in a relationship with God, but also a relationship with others. And we need to think about, who am I breaking bread with? Who am I sharing my life with? Who am I sharing my journey with? Who's with me in this? I'm not alone in this. And I wonder, do we break God's heart by the failure in our relationships? How many of us have parents, and sometimes our families have some difficulties? You know, kids don't talk. People have issues. Things happen. And as a parent, does that break your heart? Can you imagine what that does to God? For as His children. So what does it take to be a, what does it take to have this happen? Because I want to tell you something. We're going to get into this morning, and I want to make sure you understand something. Being in a relationship is not easy. It's not easy having relationship with other people. Because you know what? They're not like me. They're weird. You know? They eat weird stuff. They read different books. It's hard being in relationship with others. So what does it take to be in a relationship? So I'm going to give you just real quick. I'm going to run through these real quick. Look at the first one here. Breaking bread demands extreme commitment. You got to commit to it. If you don't commit to it, it's not going to happen. Look at what the scripture says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Why don't you circle that word devoted? What does that mean? Does it sound like it means commitment? They were committed to this. They were breaking bread. They were committed to this. They were sold out to it. It takes a commitment. I got news for you. If you're going to be in relationship with somebody, you're going to have your feelings hurt. If you're going to be in a relationship with somebody, you're going to have some disagreements. There's going to be some bickering sometimes. There's going to be a little tension sometimes. Things aren't always going to be smooth. Anytime you're in a relationship, it's going to be that way. If you don't think so, anybody here married? Now, you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? You're in a marriage. I love my wife. I was really nice to my wife. I gave my wife flowers this week. Some of you know, she took a picture, put it on Facebook. I gave her these flowers this week. I was being really nice. Nice, beautiful roses. I gave her some flowers this week. Just because I got them at a funeral, it doesn't matter. You know? I love my wife, but when she dresses me in pink, I have a problem. Being in relationship is tough. That's why it takes a commitment. You got to commit to it. There's going to be good times, there's going to be bad times. There's going to be happy times, there's going to be sad times. It's about being in relationship, and you commit to it. And you don't use the D word. Divorce, all right, if you don't know what it is. That's in marriage. But you just don't. How many of us grew up, you have your best friend, and you get a best friend. Anybody have a best friend you never fought with? Anybody have a best friend you never argued with, you never disagreed with? They were your best friend because you were committed to them. See, if we're going to reach out and we're going to be God's disciples, we need to understand we're going to have to be committed to that relationship. They're going to be different. They're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. They're going to hurt me. I'm going to hurt them sometimes. Things are going to go wrong. We're going to crash and burn sometimes. Things are going to run smooth, and then they're going to hit rough spots. But if we're committed to that relationship, it endures. If we hang into that relationship, it endures. And it comes from this word koinonia. Look at this word koinonia. I put the definition in your outline. I want to put it up here too. Koinonia is a Greek word. To share, to participate. This is what the word fellowship, this is what breaking bread means. And a common cause, to engage in social intercourse. Now, I use that word intercourse, and I want to make sure you guys understand, I'm not talking about sex, okay? Just keep your minds going on this thought right here. Intercourse is that intimate relationship. It's a sharing of your heart. It's a sharing of your life. It's a giving of yourself. It's a sacrifice. That's what he's talking about. See, this koinonia is a sacrifice. That relationship is not all about me. It's not all about my needs and my wants. It's about all of us and who we are. See, to me, what it's talking about when it uses this word intercourse, it's talking about we laugh together, we joke together, we party together, we celebrate together, we cry together, we weep together. That's what this verse is saying to me. That we have this fellowship, that we're in this together and we're working at this together and we're here for one another. And it's a challenge. But you got to commit to it. And it's hard work. And it's not easy. And especially in our society today, makes it real easy not to build relationships. Why is it we don't have these kind of relationships? Why do some of us not even know who our neighbor lives next door to us is? Don't even know them. Why is it that some of us don't even know who some of our family members are? Why don't we do this? Now, I got some reasons. I'm going to give you some. I'll make some excuses for us, all right? The air conditioner is an excuse. All right? See, we got an air conditioner. And you can set in your house. You don't have to sit on your porch anymore and wave a little fan like Andy Griffin did. And talk to your neighbors as they walk down the street. See, we don't do that anymore, do we? You go in your house and you close the door, turn your air conditioner on because it's hot outside. So we don't, you know, it's the air conditioner's fault. Now, if it's not the air conditioner, how about our garage, okay? You know that garage with the electric door opener? Yeah. You push the button, you drive in the garage, you push the button, the door closes, you walk in the house, nobody ever seen you. Or, you know what's interesting to me? I was talking to Don Leonetti the other day, called him on the phone, and see pictures of the homes back there in the south like that. They don't have fences. Yeah. I got a fence. I know where my yard ends and your yard begins, and you better stay on your side. Yeah. We got fenced yards. We got answering machines so we can screen our calls and pick who we talk to. Now laugh, because I know some of you do that, right? Come on now. Don't act like you don't. Yeah. We got caller ID on our cell phones. Okay. I ain't talking to them. You see the picture? Why don't we do these? Because we have all this around us. It takes a commitment to build these relationships. And it means we will get hurt and things don't always go smooth. But we've got to commit to these relationships. And it's so easy in today's world to not build relationships. It's so easy to avoid and not be a part and to stay away. So what I did is, I put a bunch of one another verses together. All right? This is some one another verses in the Bible that encourage us. Because I want to make sure you understand something. We need one another. We were created social beings, all right? I get so frustrated when I hear somebody tell me, and I've had this, all I need is God. You're lying. If you're sitting there this morning saying, I don't need anybody, all I need is God, you just told Jesus, love the Lord thy God, but I don't have to love my neighbor. That's what you just told him if you don't need any. We need one. We are social beings. The Bible even flat out said, what was so interesting this week, I was watching History Channel. I enjoy those kind of things. I'm watching the History Channel. And the guy at one of these colleges was talking about a new discovery. We are really social beings and we need one another. I'm sitting there watching that going, well, you know, Moses wrote that about 5,000 years ago, buddy. Moses wrote that, you know, hey, it's not good for man to be alone. He kind of knew that. Yeah, you guys are just catching up with God. Maybe one of these days you'll understand he's there. You know, we need one another. And here's some passages in the Bible that talks about that. So real quick, I'm going to run through these. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. The first one says we love one another. John 13, 34. I'm going to come back to this verse later at the end. We love one another. Why is it then that we avoid one another? Now, I'm sure you've never done this, all right? I'm not going to say I did it. You can assume that for yourselves. But have you ever been in a grocery store going down the aisle and you see somebody and it's like, you're laughing because I'm not the only one that's done that, right? Now, come on. Don't make me feel guilty here. You know? Love one another and we'll avoid one another. It's like, I don't want to talk to them right now. Yeah. You look at the phone and I don't want to talk to them either. You know? We're told to love one. We need one another. We need to love one another. Look at this next one. Be devoted to one another. Committed to one another. I'll be your friend as long as things go well. I've seen it here in Salida, where somebody was living on the government pay, was hurt in the service, and they were into drugs. And every time the check came around, all his friends were around. And then when the check ran out and the money ran out, his friends would disappear. And then the month would roll around, and guess who would come around again when the check came in? They were devoted to him as long as he had the money to buy the things that they wanted to share with. Devoted, committed. What's next? Honor one another. Honor one another. We need to respect one another. We need to lift each other up. And I love that passage in Philippians. They gave you that verse, Romans 12. I love that passage in Philippians where it says, consider others better than yourself. To me, that's honor. What's next? Accept one another. Now, I want to tell you, acceptance doesn't mean agreement. Write that down somewhere. Acceptance doesn't mean agreement. All right? When I accept somebody who behaves in a way that is unbecoming, when somebody behaves in a way and they're struggling with sin and they're battling sin. Well, let me give you an example. I need to, and we as Christians need to be accepting of gay individuals. We don't need to agree with them, but we need to love them because you know who else loves them? God does. See, acceptance doesn't necessarily mean agreement, all right? That we need to accept one another. We have battles. Well, I'm not going to talk to them anymore. They did. They behaved. We need to accept one another. What's next? Serve one another in love. I'm going to beat this one up next week, so I'm going to go real quick. We're going to talk about service next week, so just be prepared next week. What's next? Be compassionate to one another. Let me throw the word out there. Judgment. Let's not judge one another. Let's be compassionate towards one another. It's so easy to be critical. It's so easy to put somebody else down. We need to be compassionate towards others. You know, how would you say things? Maybe say things like cut some slack. Would that be one? How do they say it today? I don't know what you guys would say today. Give them a break. Cut them some slack. I don't know. Whatever you guys say, write it down. What's next? Submit to one another. Ooh, there's that word. Submit. It's not always my way. It's not always what I want. If I had my way, we'd eat Mexican food every day. I mean, there's all kinds of, when you eat Mexican food, listen, Mexican food, there's all kinds. You can have enchiladas one day. You can have tacos one day. You can add burrito one day. You can add stuffed pepper one day. What do they call? I don't know. You know, you guys know what I'm talking. You can have all this kind of. But you know what? I got to go eat Italian sometimes. Italian, give me a break. I'm sorry for you Italians. It's okay. I'm joking. I'm not sorry. No, I am sorry. Submit to one another. See, we got to give. It's a give and take. Relationships are give and take. Does that make sense? What else? Encourage one another. Be positive. Be supporting. Don't put down. You know, when I was a kid, we always cut people low. Anybody know what I'm talking about with that? Remember, we cut people low. when you cut, you know, when I was growing up, cutting people low. Some of you guys, anybody remember that phrase? We're going to cut you low. We were telling bad things about you, making you look like a fool. And that's what I mean. You guys. Oh, let's go. I'm an old man, I guess. What's next? Spur one another on. Encourage means I want to encourage you. Spur one another on means I'm going to push you. Sometimes we need to push one another. When I hear this word spur, you know what I think of? Anybody like me? I think of John Wayne with those spurs on. It's like, I'm going to ride you. Get going. You know? You got to move. We need to encourage one another, but we need to spur one another. We need to help them. It's not enough to say, hey, I wish you well. We got to help them. Linda mentioned, and you hear us talking, you're going to hear us talk more and more about recovery ministry in our church. Because they need spurring on. They need encouragement, but they also need some others to spur them on. And I really appreciate Kim, and she's helping put this together, but we're going to need some male leadership there. And some of the men are going to need to step up that can spur some others on to fight that hard fight and to continue. And so we're going to hear more and more. You're going to hear us talk more and more about the recovery ministry and celebrate recovery in our church as we build toward the time when we start a program. Because there's a need. People just need this. What's next? Live in harmony with one another. Well, it's my way or the highway, right? You live in my house, you go my way or the highway. I don't think that would work. Laura's my wife. She has some input. We're going to live in harmony with one another. We're going to negotiate. We're going to work things out. We're going to be friends. Harmony. Is that the last? I think that's the last one, isn't it? I got one more. Oh, offer hospitality to one another. Break bread. Offer hospitality. Share. Give. Be there. See, I want to challenge us. As you look at all those lists there and you look at all those things, do we really need that? Do we really? I don't know about you, but I need that kind of stuff. I need those things. We're created social beings. We need one another. In order to do that, it takes a commitment. Through thick and thin, through good times, bad times, I'm committed to this. See, being in a relationship is painful. It will hurt sometimes. There's going to be good times and bad times, but you're going to be there. That's what commitment says. So you know what I put there? I put a little blank there. You can count on me. You can count on me. I don't care what's happened. I don't care what's going on. If you need something, you need me, I'll be there. You can count on me. See, that's what I want to be able to say. Can people count on you? Can you be depended upon? Love one another. Breaking bread takes an extreme commitment. And especially a challenge in our society today when the world centers around me. Everything's about me. It's my TV. It's my remote. It's my house. It's me. It's my car. It's my computer. It's me. It takes work to be in relationship. And as disciples, we need to be in relationship. But you know what? If we have that extreme commitment and you are sold out in that relationship, you're going to get some extreme results. If you look at my next point, you're going to have some extreme results. Look at the scripture. We're going to kind of back up in that passage we read. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracle signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. I want you to circle a word there, all. You see that word all? Kind of almost right in the middle on that second line. All. What does all mean? All means all the time. Anybody ever heard that? Is that something I just thought up? All means all the time. All the people, all of them were together. They all had one accord. It wasn't just a bunch of different people. It wasn't just a bunch of everybody together. They're all there. They're all of one accord. Now, I want to make sure you understand, this isn't about communism. It's not about socialism. They're all together caring for one another is really what it's about. That's what this verse is sitting there saying. Everyone is sharing. Everyone's in the same boat. Everyone's working at it. Everyone's here to help one another. They're all here for one another. And they're saying, you can count on me. And they're blessing one another. And they're sharing with one another. And they're caring for one another. And that's what it's about. See, when you have that relationship, that's what happens. You know, when I read that all this week, I had a great time this week. And some of you heard me talk about this. One of the ladies that were in the church when I came, Joanne Riley, passed away. She was 76 years old, and she had come out from South Carolina. She was a Methodist, had been in the church a long time. Anybody don't know, there's Baptists, there's Methodists, there's Assembly of God, there's all sorts of Christian denominations. And she was a Methodist. And so she came out from South Carolina, and she never joined our church. I tried to get her to get baptized. I would always harass her about being a Methodist in a Baptist church, and I would tease her all the time about that, and so it was kind of fun. So here we are. She passes away this week, and so I had known her. I've known her sisters. Her sisters are Methodist, and they go to the church back there in South Carolina. They all came out for the funeral memorial service this week, and so to me, what was so fun this week was a Methodist lady passed away. The funeral was done by a Baptist minister, and we fellowshiped at an Assembly of God church. I think that's what this verse is talking about. They were all together. You know, it's what you do with Jesus Christ that makes the difference. It's not about some denominational title. It's about what did you do with Jesus? Where is Jesus? And that's the question. And so I just remember that. It was just a lot of fun to think about that. And her sister's got a kick. And she always gave me a bad time. And we were all laughing about that at the funeral and at the fellowship time. And just sharing the stories about Joanne and remembering those times. So that's what I think this verse is talking about. They were all together. And there's results. And all these people and all the situations were going on. Look what happened. Let's go on to the next verse. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. When Christians behave like disciples, people see something different. That's what they're saying here. When Christians live out the life of a disciple and they build those relationships, they live in relationship with others, that catches the world's attention. When they see us, though we may disagree, we may like different foods. Some of you like Italian, I like Mexican. We have disagreements. But you know what? When they see us get along and see us work together, there's something about that Christian. There's something about being a disciple. We're different. And that's what I see this verse saying. You know, the world out there, your neighbors and your friends aren't going to say, well, you know what? You have the right theology. You have the right doctrines. I'm going to go with you. They're going to go with you because you have built a relationship. You have reached out and touched their life. You have loved. You have cared. You have ministered. See, that's what a disciple does. See, and I've seen this in our church. Last week, we put out a paper asking you guys to help when we need food. And Loretta calls many of you and says, I need food. Most of you here, matter of fact, I'd probably say 99% of you here have no idea who Joanne Riley is or was. But many of you made food for Joanne Riley's family and her friends. Some of you set tables up. Some of you served food. Some of you were there. Her sisters and all the people that were there had comments and coming to me, thank your church, tell your people thank you, tell them we appreciate what they did. They seen us doing something and it had an impact on their lives. We've had people in Salida who've never even darkened our church door. They've called me and said, can the church bring some food? And you know what? Our church has brought food. And they don't even go to church anywhere. Had a gentleman here in Salida whose house burnt to the ground over here on Sequoia. I don't know if he ever went to church. Grew up in Salida, but I don't know if he ever went to church. And his home burnt down. And they didn't have anything. And they were living in a trailer on their lot. And they were struggling. Everything was gone. And our church brought food and ministered. Some of you at Christmas reached out and touched a convalescent home. Some of you at Christmas took food to the food pantry here in Salida. I've seen people give individuals money to help them get through some difficult times. See, that's what God has called us to do. That's the result of walking in fellowship. That's that result of that koinonia, that intimate relationship that God has for us. We're journeying together. We're sharing our lives together. We're ministering. We're serving together. We're with one another together. And when we do that, that's when I believe people will recognize who the church is and what the church is. They're not going to recognize the church for who it is when we walk around with a picket sign about abortion. Now, you need to know, I believe abortion is wrong. I believe, you know, it's a tragedy when it happens. We need to reach out and touch those who've had that experience and need to be loved by God. But they're not going to say, hey, I like that church. They have this picket sign. This week, I was driving downtown on 9th Street, fellowship with another minister downtown. And there's this truck. He parks down there all the time. He's got all these signs pasted all over his truck. I can't even read them, all right? I'm sitting there at the stoplight, and I'm reading over there, looking at this, trying to say, I can't even read half the And it's a tragedy when the church is known for what it's against and not that it's for Jesus and loving one another. See, to me, that's what's going to change our world. It's not going to be to elect a Christian president. Now, I need to pay attention to who I elect, but that's not going to change America. We're going to change America one person at a time as we love God and they see that in our lives. And it changes them. Look at this scripture right here. I give you a new commandment. Love one another just as I have loved you. You must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You want the world to know you're a child of God? Well, my car's gone on Sunday morning. They know I go to church. Yeah. Yeah. Love them. Care for them. My wife was talking to our neighbor at the mailbox this week. Her work schedule and her son and the situation they have there. And he has to stay home by himself because she doesn't get home till later. So we gave him our phone number and told him, whatever you need, if he needs something, she can come over here. We did that for the neighbor on the other side when she was working with her boy. He's driving now. I'm getting old. He's driving now. It's like if he needs something, he can call us. She was gone one time and they called us. Dude, that's how they're going to know we're different. Not because I carry a big old black Bible and got a cross planted on my churchyard and go to church every Sunday and they know I'm a Christian. They're going to know we're Christians by our love for one another. That's what they're going to know, by our love. So as I look at that verse, by this all men will know that I am a disciple if I love others. Can you say that? Can you say your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, your family will know you are a Christian by your love? Maybe you're like me. Sometimes it's hard to love people in your family. You know? They live a different lifestyle. They behave in different ways. They say things that irritate you. And it's hard to love them. But how are they going to know you're a child of God is when you love them in spite of all that. When you reach out and touch them and you care about them. That's what I want to challenge us with today. You know, we come to church sometimes, I want to learn something new. This is not new. This is not new. We know we need to love one another. But what we need to do is do it. And I want to challenge you. Who do you need to reach out and touch? Look at the bottom of your paper. I put it this way. Who do you need to break bread with? Who do you need to invite over for dinner? Now, Laura and I have Thursdays and Fridays. All right, so just, you know, I'm hungry. Yeah, I'll eat whatever you feed. I'll even eat Italian food if you fix it. I'll be there. Yeah. know. But who do you need to invite over? Who do you need to reach out and touch? Is there a neighbor next door across the street? Is there a coworker? Is there a family member you haven't talked to in a long time? Who do you need to reach out and touch? That's what it means to break bread together. I want to challenge us to be disciples. I'm not only a Christian, I'm a disciple. I'm sold out. I'm going to touch the unlovely. I'm going to befriend the outcast. Sometimes I'm going to offend some of the religious structures. But I am going to be and break bread with those that need God the most. Those that are the furthest from Jesus. I'm going to reach out and touch. I'm going to challenge you. Who do you need to break bread with? And you notice I left you a blank line. That line's there for a reason. Not just for looks. Put a name. It's yours. I'm not going to take these. Think of somebody you need to reach out and touch. At the bottom of the page, I made it real simple. You look at the bottom, it says this, I'm in. I love like Jesus. I'm in. Are you? Are you in? It's going to take an extreme commitment because it's going to be hurt sometimes. But when you do, there's some extreme results. Did you know that day when all this was going on, 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus Christ? 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus Christ when they were committed to the fellowship and the breaking of bread. I want to challenge us to see what it can do in our lives. Who do you need to touch? Let's pray.